Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
All right, good morning to you. Good to see you here today. We're glad that you've joined us on this special occasion as we celebrate this beautiful new space that God has blessed us with. You know, I'd never really been through a building program nearly this big before, and it was a real interesting thing to me. Just as a pastor, I really learned a lot, and I loved that chainsaw. I don't know if you noticed, though, nobody else was in that shot. It's like they were all standing back against the walls when Jimmy B gave me the chainsaw that day. But it was a great, great experience. I want to thank personally Maury and the Rooks for their hard work. You know, Brent Cogan and Cogan Electric, Brent attends here, and Andy Mathers, who works for him. Yeah, they did such a fine job. All the subs, yes. You know, they just really became our friends. I mean, they really, really did. I'll never forget, and I'm going to just tell you the names. It was Al and Steve and Jimmy, and a whole bunch of us were standing around one day, and I'm almost certain that it was Al said, he said, you know, guys, this is the best place that we've ever worked, isn't it? And they all agreed. Now, I think Maury can correct me here, but they've worked for the Altoona Hospital. They've worked for Penn State University. They've worked for every church in the area, but we're the best. Isn't that awesome? Now, I think that was the day that our ladies made stuffed pork chops for the whole crew. But still, it was a nice thing. They became our friends. They really did. Bob Hazenstab, I saw Bob. Bob, where are you? Raise your hand there, Bob. Stand up. There's Bob. Give Bob a hand. Bob was Bob was kind of our, he worked for us. We hired him as a project manager, and we told him, we said, Bob, you know, just save us any amount of money that you can. And I want to just give you an illustration of how great this guy did his job, okay? He needed one day to send a note to Arlene, so he sent her a note on a piece of used wood, okay? And it says, there's an 800 number on here. It says, please call and apply for a new tap meter. Thanks. And Arlene wrote on the back, Bob Hazenstab's version of a Post-it note. Okay. So that's how great a job Bob did for us here at First Church. It was just a joy. It really was a joy to work with all of you folks. And you know, we just look forward to using this beautiful space that you helped us make and bring about to the glory of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, we can do that. We can clap. So this continues to be the theme that I want you to go with. Okay, so look to heaven. Say thank you, God. Go ahead. Thank you, God. Now pat somebody on the back. Good job. All right? I mean, listen, it is so important, the work that we've done over the last year. Now, let me kind of catch you up, because I don't want to lose the momentum of what we've been talking about here for the last few weeks. Two weeks ago, we started this brand new series, Moving Beyond Your Past. And if you were here that Sunday, we talked about labels and how important it was that we overcome labels that are placed on us or labels that we place on ourselves. And if you were here, you'll remember I told you over and over again that God's power is always bigger than your past. God's power is always bigger than your past. Never forget that. God's power is always bigger than your past. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We looked at 2 Corinthians 5:17. I love this passage. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful for that. I hope that we all are. Last week I talked to you about forgiveness. Specifically unforgiveness and how unforgiveness traps us. It puts us in a prison. Remember I said to you that unforgiveness is like eating rat poison and hoping that a rat will die. Just hurt yourself. And we had this great passage of scripture, Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And when you stand, pray, and if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Absolutely crucial. And then next week, we're going to really get back in the theme and the spirit of this series, Moving Beyond Your Past. But today I want to talk about holy places. I want to talk about holy places. You know, I think I was pretty fortunate as a kid because I grew up in a time and an era, and many of you did too, that people looked at things differently then. If I had a quarter for every time my mother slapped me in the back of the head and said, "Hey, you're in church," pop. You think that started with that guy on NCIS? No, it started with my mother a long time ago, okay? I mean, if I had a quarter for every time she slapped me in the back of the head, said, "Hey, straighten up, you're in church," I could take all of us to Cracker Barrel and we could buy anything we wanted for lunch. I wish I could do that, okay? But my mother-in-law's here. I'm going to treat her, but none of the rest of you, all right? Here's the thing, though. We live in a time today where it's tough to understand and to think about holy places. I don't know if you know the story of the First Church of Christ. Let me briefly tell it to you. Believe it or not, this church has been around since 1884. Yes, I said 1884, not 1984, 1884. We've met in basically four different locations in those years. We actually started in a white wooden framed church over on near 6th Avenue and 9th Street. That's the picture there on the upper left. That was taken somewhere around 1900. Some little kid, one of your children or grandchildren actually, in class 101 a couple years ago, I showed that picture and he said, "Pastor John, you in that picture?" So, dude, that was 100 years. That was 1900. No, I'm not in that picture. But that was our church. And that church, I think it actually burned. And then we built the building that you see there on the upper right. That was the First Church of Christ home from 1910 to 1979. Okay? That building was dedicated on Easter Sunday, 1910. Okay? So 104 years ago. And that building's actually still there. If you're driving down 6th Avenue and 9th Street, you can see it right there on the corner. It's actually a part of a drug and alcohol rehab program now. But that was the location of First Church of Christ until 1979. Actually, the church actually started in the late 1800s. There's an article on the front page of Christian Standard magazine dated 1919 that says that eight people met in the home of the King family, and that was the way the First Church of Christ got started. Independent, fundamental church, part of the Restoration Movement. That was how the church got started. We were in that second building until 1979. That's when we purchased this property. This building that you're sitting in now didn't exist, any of it. But the cafe and the downstairs over there on that side was actually here. It was actually Good Shepherd Lutheran Church for a number of years. It closed. We purchased the property, moved out here, and we built the sanctuary as we had it before, right here in the middle, in 1979. And then we've been worshiping here, of course, ever since. This latest renovation is the first time that we've ever added one square inch to this building since we moved out here. None. Now, we took out coat racks so that there'd be places for people to stand. We took out the library so that the hallway could be wide enough for the flow of traffic between the cafe and out here. We kicked the adults out of the building on Wednesdays some years ago because we had so many children attending our worship. We purchased a property across the street and moved our offices over there. Just in case you're wondering, a lot of people, when they first time, they think I live over there. Sometimes Arlene and I, we think we live over there. We don't live there, though. That's just the offices. And so we've done a lot of things to utilize our space better, but we've never added anything to this building since 1979 until now. We had multiple services. We've done lots of stuff to enhance our ministry. But praise God now that we have this beautiful, beautiful new space. It's a holy space. I love what Ezra chapter 6 in verse 16 says. It says, "Then the people of Israel celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy." Not a beautiful passage. Then the people of Israel celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. They celebrated with joy when the house of God was finished. And you know what, folks? I just want to encourage you, want to encourage myself, all of us together. That's what we want to experience here today. That's why when I say to you, look to heaven and say, thank you, God. Pat your brother on the back, your sister on the back. Good job. Thank you, God. Good job. I just want to celebrate. I just want to be joyful about what God has given us here. Why? Because this is a holy place. And what makes something holy is all, I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Did you ever notice how the 23rd Psalm ends? You ever realize? I mean, we all know the 23rd Psalm, right? Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me, he leads me, he guides me, he restores me. He walks with me, even though I walk through a valley of the deepest, darkest shadow of death. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. We know the 23rd Psalm. Do you know how it ends? It ends with this marvelous phrase that simply says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, to me, the life of a Christian, and everywhere we are, and everything that we do should be holy. But you see, we allow things of life to take away from our experience of God's creation in a holy way. I'll give you an example. A couple weeks ago, I had a wedding. And at this wedding, I wasn't able to actually talk to the photographer before the wedding started. And the wedding was inside a barn out at Fort Roberto. And I'm up there. This beautiful couple is in front of me. They're being married. They're giving vows. They're exchanging rings. We're praying together. And this 6'3", 250-pound bearded photographer decided to sit his camera on my shoulder. Literally. I'm here, you know, I'm praying, I'm talking, and this big, he's like, click, click. And right at that moment, I was like, okay, do I want this wedding to be memorable for what I do to him? And I decided then, you know, just to you know, deal with it later. And I think that was probably the proper way to deal with it. But isn't it easy how we allow things to come into our moment? Sacred moments, holy moments, beautiful moments, and we allow those things to take away the sacredness, the holiness, and the beauty. Right? And we allow that over and over and over again. Psalm 23 says that I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then Psalm 24, so beautiful, it says this: the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. So let me ask you a question. In the life of a Christian, in the life of a believer today, what's holy? What's a holy place? Where do we experience holiness? And the answer, I think, is everywhere. Because God created it, because God gave it to you, because you are a Christian, every place is holy, wherever you are. And hopefully our actions and what we're doing depicts that kind of holiness. He goes on and he says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And then he answers it, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. In other words, you know, anything and everything and anywhere and everywhere can be holy. But it's what we do. And it's who we are that either honors that holiness or takes away from it. So let me think with you just a little bit more. He goes on to say, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior, such as the generation of those who seek Him, who seek His face, the God of Jacob. Listen to verse 7. He says, lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, the King of glory? the Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. You see, folks, when you ask yourself the question, what makes a place holy, here's the three things that are important. Number one is intention. This place is holy because God intended it to be holy. God intended your presence and my presence to come together and to be joined together and to make this place a holy place. God's intention was for us to experience life together with Him in a holy way. So intention is important to holiness. Number two, motivation is important to holiness. In other words, God can intend something to be holy, but our motivation can take it another direction, can make it another way, can make it not holy, simply because of our motivation, what's going on inside of us. There's some of you here this morning. You're here. You understand that God intended this place for holiness. But you're not feeling holy. Why? Because of what's going on inside of you. How you are responding to life. How you are responding to what God is calling you to do or to be. You see, intention, God's intended for us to experience life in a holy way. A lot of times our motivation takes us a different way, but it doesn't have to. Our motivation can do as it did in Ezra. It can cause us as God's people to celebrate and to experience joy because of this set apart place for Him. And then the third thing is presence. The presence of God is what makes a place holy. God lives inside of you. God lives inside of me. We've come together as a corporate body of believers. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, that I will be there in the midst. God's presence is what makes this place holy. So intention, motivation, and presence. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15 says, I live in a high and a holy place. That's God. I live in a high and holy place. And the Bible is plain that God and His Holy Spirit live in each of us if we know Him. Therefore, because God resides in us and because we are here, then this place can be holy. So anywhere you go, think about God's intention. Think about your motivation of what brings you there. Think about God's presence being in that place. And celebrate how holy and wonderful our God in heaven really is. I would like for you to bow your heads with me, and I would like to lead all of us in a special prayer of dedication for this beautiful space, this holy place, this morning. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Dear Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the gift of this day. A day set aside to offer this place to you as a place of worship and prayer. We set aside this place to help people fall in love with Jesus. And our prayer, Lord, is that we will fall in love with you each and every day. And that, Father, we feel comfortable, even motivated, to invite others, co-workers, family, neighbors, friends, maybe even strangers that we meet on the street, to come to this place and join us in our pursuit of your holiness. God, may we know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's because of your intention, because of our motivation, because of your presence that makes this place and every place holy. Dear God, we thank you for all the good people, faithful people, who've made this place possible. We thank you, Lord, for every meeting that was attended, every gift that was given sacrificially. And we pray, Lord, that you will use our efforts to reach others with your grace and mercy for generations to come. God, we thank you for the faithful pioneers who years ago sacrificed to make First Church a reality, and for those who down through the years allowed your work to flourish in their lives and in this community. God, many of us here today are here because of their faithfulness. Many of those folks were our parents, were our grandparents, were our neighbors, Sunday school teachers. And Lord, they made an indelible impact on our lives. And oh Father, we thank you for this beautiful building. And we recognize that it is only bricks and mortar without your presence here. Your presence and our motivation is what makes this place holy. And dear God, we give you every inch of this facility. We give you every square foot, Lord, of this building. And may your Spirit bless and direct every activity that takes place here. God, I pray for the children that are now in this ministry and for those that are yet to come, maybe even be born. And I pray, Lord, that these children will come to this place and learn of your goodness and of your grace. I thank you, Lord, for activities like last week and the week before with Vacation Bible School. Literally hundreds of little kids, Lord, here learning about you. God, I pray you'd bless our children's department and all the workers, certainly Connie, Father, and all those that help her. God, I lift up to you the teens, the young teens and the older teens and even the college kids that fill this place full of life and vigor and vitality and enthusiasm. And Father, may they always know that they are not only welcomed here, but they are expected, Lord, to be here. And may they grow to know you and to love you and to serve you. And God, be with Angela and Mike as they work with our teens. Lord, be with those that volunteer and minister in the college ministry. And God, we just pray that you would help them to flourish as well. Lord, I thank you for each classroom in this place. God, we give you every square inch of it. May, Lord, it be filled with people that are eager to know you and to love you and to serve you and to learn of your goodness. To learn, Lord, things about your word, about the Holy Bible, that they can apply to their lives. Lord, and I thank you so much for Claire and for so many others that teach and share. God, I pray that you'd be with people that come here to receive counsel, to receive godly advice. Lord, thank you for Don and his ministry. And I just pray, Father, that as people come here looking for a hand up, looking for a place, Lord, that is safe, God, I pray that they would find it here. Lord, I lift up to you the living room cafe and the small groups and the different things that are going on over there. Lord, I thank you for Claire and her leadership and direction in that. And may the conversations around those tables, may the hundreds and thousands of cups of coffee that are shared, Lord, may it bring goodness and love and camaraderie to everyone, Lord, that's a part. Lord, I pray for this room right here, this worship area. And God, I thank you for the band. Thank you, Lord, for Ross and his leadership with the music and worship. God, bless him, bless them as they lead us. And Father, may they join us at this holy throne of worship. And as people come here, Lord, I just pray that they would feel the excitement of singing praise to you, our God. Lord, I thank you for this gymnasium that's just outside our sight here. Brand new space, Lord. Thousands of square feet of space that's going to be used for children to play and for preschool, Lord, to enjoy that. Games, Lord, between teens and adults. Maybe, Lord, even the community coming in and using that building in some way. And Lord, as people walk in there, I pray that you give them safety, that you'd watch over the Lord and keep them safe and whole. But also, Father, may they know that that's not just a gymnasium. It's a space dedicated, Lord, to you, dedicated to these wonderful bodies, this temple of God that you've given to each of us. And may we honor you in how we use that area. And Lord, I thank you for this beautiful welcome area just outside our view as well. God, as people come in there and as they experience a firm handshake or a warm smile of a greeter, I pray, Lord, that they would feel our purpose and mission, that we want to help people fall in love with Jesus, that we want to bring glory and honor to God and enjoy Him forever. And Lord, as those are the very first people that people encounter when they come here, God, may we present to them a love that's obvious that it comes from the Lord. And Lord, I pray for this pulpit, this lectern here. May the words that I speak, may the words of any of us, Lord, as we speak and share here, God, may it fall on eager ears and on a life, Lord, that understands that change needs to come. Father, may we always remember as we walk around this building that we're walking on the words written by our children and families of your holy word that's written all over this building underneath this carpet. And Father, may we just know that we stand on that beautiful word and experience anew every time we come here your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for this wonderful place. We give it all to you, Lord, and we give ourselves to you. And we pray that you would use us and use us in this space to bring glory and honor and praise to Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, 4, Christ.com.